2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good Tuesday, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code PODCAST gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to a Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and of course the Slack chat channel where you can chat with me, Bear, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter, at 14a.walsh. Find Shy Moshe there, at Mr. Bear here. Shy, good to be back on the pod with you today. Couple situations here that are going to change the way that we look at this slate, but none other more important than the Houston Rockets tonight. No James Harden, no Clint Capella. That does open up a lot of nice options for us there today to begin with.
Yeah, lots of options. Tons and tons of options. Lots of games. Lots of pretty good over-unders. Nothing really ugly outside of the usual San Antonio, which is usually pretty down there. And then we've got, surprisingly, Dallas and Sacramento, neither team who plays much defense, is only at 202. Which is kind of surprising for me. I mean, I know there's some players out from out, aka tanking. Mm-hmm. So one of the news outlets that I used is officially referring to this game as the Tank Bowl.
The Tank Bowl. It's like kind of the opposite. Remember in Semi-Pro, right? Where they had the Flint.
Yeah.
Was it the Flint Mega Bowl?
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah.
Oh, good man, good stuff. Also, as you mentioned in that the Sacramento-Dallas game, too, spread moving 4.5 points in Sacramento's favor since the open. Me and a couple of the guys, I don't know if you went back and read the chat, but there was much discussion about what the right opening line was on this game. But, last night the line was there for Dallas as 2.5-point favorites. Now things have completely swung around to where, I guess, Sacramento – is the 2-point favorite now, if anything hasn't changed since I checked it last. But that's a pretty significant thing that we got to look at. I'm sure we'll dive into that. A couple Kings players in the situation. And, you know, Dallas has a lot of guys either questionable or out for this game. So we might be looking at some absolute bottom-of-the-barrel value if these guys end up missing tonight. So pretty interesting stuff there. Let's see.
And unfortunately, that's a later game too, so we might not even know before lock. So we got to be careful.
That is poop. That is poop. For Miami, no Bam or Whiteside tonight, so we'll certainly break down more than a few Heat in that scenario. Obviously, we got to think that most of the uptick goes to James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk in that situation. Might even see more time from Justice Winslow at the four tonight. I'm sure we're going to see a couple sets where Josh Richardson's in at the four tonight. So a lot of shifting parts there for the Miami Heat. Don't you worry, folks. We'll break it down. And I guess the other big information today was that Draymond Green going to be back in the lineup tonight for the Warriors.
He sure is.
So that should be fun. All right, let's... we're getting a late start here today, so let's do the position-by-position breakdown today. Pod is now. Chris Paul, you would have to think, would be the top point guard option, with James Harden out of the lineup tonight. So he's only 8,100 on DraftKings tonight. You in full agreement here that CP3 is the top point guard on the board?
I mean, an 8,400, no James Harden versus the crappy Bulls. I mean, he's almost going to be, although more expensive, like Trey Burke yesterday,
where
everyone just loaded up on him, and he put up damn near 60. And it's not just Harden that's missing right? He's got more. He's got Capella is going to be out for this game as well, who's a big receiver of those assists from both of those guys. But Chris Paul is going to carry the load on his shoulders. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard not to play him everywhere.
Indeed, indeed. Now, I didn't know if you were going to have more interest in Dame Lillard tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans, which would be a nice little matchup there.
Interesting news, by the way, we just got.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to first because it might be beneficial.
Draymond Green now doubtful.
Oh, what in the hell, man? that makes the first minute of the podcast irrelevant.
Pretty much.
Jeez. Well, I should only say maybe like 10 seconds irrelevant. But, all right. Good to know that we got that news now. Good to know. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's interesting, right? So, all right. Before we get to that Dray news, let's talk about Dame Lillard here against the Pelicans. Now, we know that Chris Paul is in a fantastic spot going up against the Chicago Bulls. Do you see any situation where Dame could score more raw points than Paul tonight?
Yeah. Absolutely, I can. I mean, he's got the Pelicans, right? I mean, we've seen what guards in general have done versus the Pelicans. It looks like, let me take a look here. Yeah, that over under is more, so there might be more points to go around there. It's that whole game. Portland and New Orleans is basically going to be Dame and CJ versus Anthony Davis.
We're not including Drew Holiday in the
mix? I thought about Drew, but I mean, Dame and CJ are not by any stretch poor defenders, so they can at least body him. But yeah, he'll do some damage too. But yeah, it's basically going to be 2-on-2, those two versus each other in terms of like usage and points and. I might give a little bit to Aminu as well because he's been balling lately, like the chief that he is. But I can absolutely see a situation where, because you're probably going to have Drew on CJ, which leaves Rondo on Dame, and so I like Dame's chances of outscoring Chris Paul in that scenario.
Yeah, one situation that I forgot to mention in the open there, Rondo and Mirotić, both questionable for the Pelicans tonight. So, if we're just talking about that game, I know Ian Clark didn't have the greatest of games against Houston in a situation, you know, where he had a nice chance to do some damage. So, I still think that he could be a fine option if Rondo's going to be out. Probably going to see him with a lot of minutes there at the two. Or, I'm sorry, running the point on the second unit. Ian Clark's been a guy who's consistently done, 20s here over the last 5-6 games. A couple falters, one against Indiana, one against Houston. The thing about Houston, too, he should have gotten some of that garbage run down the stretch, but I guess, they pulled him because they are making a playoff push.
Yeah.
He had a nice second half before he got yanked, and, some of his minutes got taken away there, but... that's why you don't see that uptick there because Rondo was out that game. That was going to be a nice spot for him there. So I definitely think he'll play closer to like 30 minutes, if this game is going to stay closer and Rondo is out. We need to find that information out throughout the day. All right. So love all those options there. You've got an interesting matchup here going on above the border tonight. So we've got the Raptors hosting the Nuggets. Nuggets are on the back end of a back-to-back. Now, typically we say for a player it's his homecoming if he's going back to a place. But for Jamal Murray, this is his country coming? Is that how we would say it?
No, I'd call it a homecoming again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought since sure Canada, got, different rules. They have different monetary system there.
It might be different lingo, yeah. But, I think we did the same thing with Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what part of Canada he's from.
I believe the Ontario province.
So not too far?
Yep.
From Toronto. So he might have a bunch of... family there, I'm not sure.
Oh, but, you gotta think. If the game was in Vancouver, they'd probably go chase him all the way up there.
I wouldn't be surprised. And then, you remember, I just want to shout out the dunk last night over
yes.
JJ Redick. I mean, that was
As I retweeted, I put a dookie had to be sacrificed the day after the loss. So that that was J.J. Redick.
Like a lamb. I mean, that was sacrificial. That was amazing. Yeah. But something to note about that game, both teams are still – so Denver is fighting just to get into the playoff race. And Toronto is still fighting to keep that number one seed. So, you know, there's the very meaningful minutes to be played in this game. It's not a tanking game by any stretch.
No, definitely not. Yeah, Jamal Murray's been so consistent here. Ever since Lowe's said he was going to, completely be done with Murray. Well, Murray's been fantastic. So, barring a Judas-like situation where he turns his back and goes back on the Murray bandwagon, I'm pretty good on him. Now, also, too, like, I wanted to look at the Nuggets minutes because they did kind of get yanked out down the stretch last night. It was a situation where, they were down double digit. Like, the Sixers just came out in that third quarter and absolutely just night and day from what they showed in the first half and really took control of that game. So I know a lot of people were questioning, like, oh, you know, how come, you know, we're not getting these Nuggets down the stretch here? It's only like a 15-point game. Well, you know, they're playing in Canada tonight, so they had to save some juice in the tank for that one. But, you know, as you just mentioned, both of these teams are very much still playing for something nowadays. So
that really pissed me off last night because it was really – the game wasn't out of reach, and there was enough time left. And these guys are trying to make it into the playoffs, which is why I rostered three of them. And
see, I went three Sixers.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I did the Dario, Rocco, and on DK I had Simmons.
Well, I'm sure you're happy with those plays.
Very much so, yes.
So I had Wilson Chandler, I had Jamal Murray, and I don't remember who the third one was now. But
Jokic.
It wasn't Jokic. It usually is, yeah, but it wasn't Jokic.
All right.
I don't remember who, but and I'm just like, what's happening? All right, because they were like all in the mid-30s all of a sudden. Chandler was getting to the 30s. I'm like, yes, outscore Rocco, please. And then they're just out of the game. I'm like, what happened? Oh, it was Will Barton.
Yes. Very, very hot start.
And I'm just like, what's going on? I mean, and as usual, I mean, they both started out actually pretty well.
Yeah.
And then Chandler picked it up late. And I'm like, okay, you know, I might be in for some serious dough here. Kept on climbing. And then poop.
Mm. Mm-mm. Now, but, I just want to say one thing with Murray real quick, but for your point, 6,600 on DraftKings, 7,900 on FanDuel. So, much bigger difference there between the two sites. What were you going to say?
I said, I was just going to say, wow.
Oh, no.
6,600, that's a big jump. If you're on DraftKings, so Jamal Murray is very, very intriguing. Certainly, Toronto is good at defending the point guard. Lowry's a good defender. But at 6,600 in a game that's pretty decently paced and that both teams need to win, I that's a good play.
Yeah, sure. What about the other side of this? Now, I know there's always a lot of point guard options that we have from Toronto, which is very much unlike any other team, but
you've got
guys Lowry, Van Vliet, DeLon Wright that we've got here. Any interest in those guys?
I got a lot of interest in Van Vliet.
Okay.
5K... he's been playing mid 20s, 25, 26, 27 minutes, which is pretty good. And then he has those games where he just goes off. So, for tournaments, I'm very interested in Van Vliet.
Okay. Yeah. Last game was kind of weird for him because, you know, in general, it was just weird altogether because Toronto lost at home against the Clippers team that's really been struggling. So that was just very weird to see. But Van Vliet really did not do well in the second half of that game. I should say most of the second half in that game. And then like the final minutes of the fourth quarter, he actually turned it up and kind of saved what would have been just an absolutely disastrous night from him. But again, this is a guy that puts up points. I mean, prior to last game, he had 30 fantasy points in each of those three games. So he's a guy that can put up points. The one thing that worried me a little bit about everybody on that second unit except Siakam and Poeltl was the return of C.J. Miles. Now, he had been, you know, out or playing limited or played limited minutes in a couple of those recent games, but I thought the return to him kind of, you know, I don't know, it maybe made the second unit change things up a little bit because they looked like they were running pretty well with that a while. They were running well for a while without him, but his return kind of just, you know, made them play a little differently. So maybe they figured that out in practice, but I think they'll be fine overall, especially against the Denver team. Look, we know this team gives up a lot of points every night. You know, they're not one of the best defensive teams. They just played last night. This game has the highest total on the slate, too. So all good news for Raptors participants in this one.
Yeah, playing Denver will definitely give you the highest totals, that's for sure.
Indeed. We got speaking of dynamic duos, we got a nice little point guard matchup there with Dallas and Sacramento. You know, I did mention Sacramento jumping up a whole bunch of points on the Vegas line. So De'Aaron Fox is going to be interesting there. Even Frank Mason, whoever, just any kind of point guard will be nice here. And then don't forget, J.J. Barea is out for the Mavs tonight. So that's a nice little minutes boost there for Dennis Smith Jr. You've also got Yogi Ferrell there as well, I think could be intriguing. Anybody in particular pop out there to you?
Now, I looked at De'Aaron Fox, and I said to myself, I can't trust him because the slightest, you know, back tightness on a team that's trying to tank, or if they're winning the game, they might say, hey, your back hurts. Oh, it does? And pull him. So that whole – I mean, look, I know there's going to be a lot of gems in that game because of the lack of defense, but if you value money –
strong.
It's hard, man. It's hard to trust anybody from either team.
Gotcha. Any now Garrett Temple's out, so I don't know. Any interest in Mason?
Yes. Now there I do have some interest because I think so. First of all, he's 3,900. We've seen him put up like 12 points, 8 assists in 19 minutes. Versus a team that's tanking, right? So he's got something to prove. He's still young. He still has, you know, a name to make for himself. And if it does happen where they happen to be winning or whatever reason and Fox is not going to play, then that's a steal for him. So GPP, I'm probably looking at about 25% exposure to him because of his price and what he can do.
Draw.
So, yeah, so I like his spot.
All right. Anybody else that you're taking a look at from the point guard position?
Yes. One that I am going to play a lot of.
All right.
And that is Goran Dragic.
Ooh, I like it.
Going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the defenseless Cleveland Cavaliers.
The defensively allergic Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes. Defensively challenged. But, I mean, look, they've got Jose Calderon starting at the point guard. I may know he doesn't play 30 minutes, but, you know, they've got him with George Hill at the two. And then they bring in Rodney Hood and they move Hill back to the one. But, I mean, Dragic against, so they're at home. There's no Whiteside. We mentioned there's already no Bam Adebayo. So for me, it's kind of more rebounds, more shots, more usage to go around. In a game that should be pretty high pace, pretty high scoring. What do we got here? Totals. Oh, there it is. So 221.5. So that's pretty much up there with all the other games. Denver, Toronto's 225. Portland, New Orleans, 222. So it's up there. I really like Dragic with the ball in his hand here versus Calderon or even George Hill.
Nice. And to an idea to support all of what you just said, Miami has been awesome against Cleveland. Like, I don't know what it is, but they play them amazingly.
You know what it is. You know what it is.
Yeah, all right. I know what it is. I was trying to downplay it a little. Yeah, you know. But Yeah, Miami really plays them well, and they have a couple guys that can actually defend LeBron, like a James Johnson, Josh Richardson, you know, that list, Justice Winslow even. I mean, look, we're not looking for anybody to shut LeBron down here, but guess what? They're going to make life difficult on him tonight. Yep. And again, that's why they've had a lot of success against them in the past.
Yep.
So, yeah, check the data on that one. It's for real. All right. Here's an interesting one. So one of the higher totals on the night is the Bucks Clippers game tonight. It's actually second highest, just a point behind the Nuggets and Raptors. So if you go ahead and look at the depth chart hub made by one myself, you'll see that both point guard matchups in that game are the kind of red that you don't want, like the devil red. Apple red, Valentine's Day red. It's bad. Anything that the total could help with these guys here?
Are you talking about Austin Rivers and Bledsoe?
I mean Bledsoe, Teodosic. I mean, you know, we technically see Lou Williams run the backup point, you know, for the second unit too. So
that's where I'm going. Okay. That's where I'm going. I'm going to Lou. I wouldn't go to these other guys. I mean, I don't necessarily hate Bledsoe as a play, but he is 7,500. I'd rather go, you know, to like a Dragic at 1,000 less, and maybe a Mason at 3,900, even, you know, Yogi Ferrell for 2K less versus Sacramento. I mean, there are a lot, or Van Vliet, right? There are better plays there. Even Tyler Johnson at the shooting guard for Cleveland at 4,700 on FanDuel is a good play. So, you know, I can see some people stacking Dragic and Taijo. So, I mean, I don't – look, Bledsoe can always go off for 50. We know that. The slate today is loaded. It's absolutely loaded. The way you're going to win today is by finding your 5, 6K range guys – that can get you 40 plus, and your one or two studs can get you 60 plus, is really the only way. I hate to say it, but it's the only way you're going to win, because, you know, you've got LeBron, you've got Giannis, you've got AD, you've got Damian Lillard, you've got, you know, Chris Paul, you've got a lot of players here that can kill you if you don't have them. And something to throw into the mix about Teodosic. So the Clippers were in a bind. They had C.J. Williams and Ty Wallace that they had to make a decision. Sign them for the rest of the season or send them down to the G League and let them stay there. And they did that for a little bit. They weren't in the G League for a while. Well, now they're both back, and now they're both available to play. Ooh. So that takes some more. I don't necessarily see it taking anything away from Lou Williams, per se.
Sure.
Lou is pretty set in his role.
Professional
scorer. Playing 30 minutes no matter what. But it might take a little bit away from Teodosic.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I like it. All right. That'll conclude the point guard section. Nice little transition there, going here to the shooting guard. So my favorite shooting guard is actually in this game tonight. And his name is not Lou Williams.
Okay.
His name is Chris Middleton, who has been playing fantastic basketball this season. You say that you love small forwards against the Clippers. I know everyone loves small forwards against the Clippers. You know, that's typically where you're going to see Middleton playing tonight. Even if he's playing shooting guard, it's still a fantastic matchup. My whole thing is, look, we know that point guards really struggle against, you know, both of these teams here tonight. So I think that kind of opens up more production for these guys like Middleton, for Greek, for, you know, maybe a Jabari Parker, guys like that. But again, Middleton's been playing so well of late. I don't want to miss another one from him.
I don't blame you. The only thing is he's up to 8K.
Yeah, you got to pay for greatness sometimes, you know.
You do. You do. We know it well, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go some Giannis, some Middleton, and some Lou from that game. And I might even go DeAndre Jordan, take those four players from that game, put that in a hammer, and off I go.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot there.
Man, I'm looking at Middleton's numbers. Like, I knew they were good without even looking at them, but then I looked at the numbers. My goodness. So,
yeah, he's a beast.
At least 42 on FanDuel in each of the last five. I rounded one up. I'm sorry, in each of the last four, I rounded one of those up. And then even before that, man, he's still been very consistently there in the upper 30s. He had a game of 46 against Houston earlier this month. So, I mean, look, the production has just been there from this guy of late. Again, the Clippers, doubt they're going to do any slowing down of Chris Middleton there. So I love the way the guy's been playing of late, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say I blame you. So do I. He's one of the more underrated players I think the league has. And I think because he plays for the Bucks, I think if anybody gets any sort of recognition or whatever from Milwaukee, it's Giannis. But this guy is consistently, like you said, putting up numbers. He's a really, really talented basketball player. He's lengthy. He can play power forward. He doesn't. He's a guard, but he's got the length to do that. He's got similarities in his game to Kevin Durant. He's nowhere near on that same level. Don't get me wrong. But his style of play in terms of being really lengthy, who can dribble the ball and shoot mid-range and do those kinds of things, is very similar.
So what you're saying is Chris Middleton is a middle-class Kevin Durant or a lower Perfect. Class?
I would say middle class.
Okay. Yeah. He eats more than ramen for dinner. That's good.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when I said favorite shooting guard on the day, it kind of is a little bit of fibbing because Eric Gordon is so cheap on FanDuel. But, I mean, hell, yeah. I mean, DraftKings, he's 7,200. FanDuel, what, 5,600?
Yeah,
that's a $1,600 differential in price, folks. You're going to get your Eric Gordon exposure tonight. It's definitely on FanDuel, but I think you could get kind of crazy here on DraftKings. I mean, it is the Bulls. There's no James Harden. I think you might be able to get away with it on DraftKings for a very, very low ownership percentage because you know damn well people are getting their fix on FanDuel.
Right.
They might not need that second fix on DraftKings, so that's what makes it so much more appealing.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's going to be in a really good spot, man. I mean, a really good spot. So on FanDuel, I really think it's the closest thing to a lock we have today. You just kind of have to play him and move on. DraftKings, it might be a large field GPP play over there.
Yeah, I know it's not exactly, wetting anybody's palate there on DraftKings, but it's certainly a sneaky way to go. I just wanted to, with Harden and Capella out of the lineup tonight, that is about 45 points that are missing from the Rockets' numbers today. So,
oh, is that all?
Yeah, that's all. So, I definitely have a feeling that Eric Gordon will be involved in that tonight.
Me up because I can get buckets too. So,
indeed. All right. Besides those two guys, what are some different options that people can go with the shooting guard position tonight?
So I did something a little bit sneaky earlier this morning.
Is it safe for the pod?
It's safe for the pod.
Okay, cool.
It is. I played Drew Holiday and Victor Oladipo at the shooting guards.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think – I mean, you might get a little more on Drew, but Depot is – I mean, you might see him at like 3-4%.
Sure.
Because he's at 8,500, because you have a lot of really, really high-powered options – on the slate as a whole, but particularly at the shooting guard. I think going up against Golden State, who is hurting and who now is going to not have Draymond most likely. So you're going to see a bunch of third stringers on that team. I think Depot can really take advantage. So I like Depot a lot in tournaments. You could probably get away with not playing him in cash, but maybe like a Depot and Lou Williams in tournaments is nice. Both have 60 potential.
Yeah. I hate when I get questions asked while we're doing the pod because I want to answer them, but damn it, I can't.
Ignore.
um, No, I with Oladipo, it's interesting. I've noticed because I've watched a couple of these. I got to check out my boy Quinn Cook, you know, former Duke legend. They're at the Warriors now. But it's funny because the Warriors, man, like they play good stretches of defense. And then all of a sudden there's just parts of the games where they collapse. You know, that's exactly what happened against Utah. You know, they did a pretty good job. And there were just times where they let up a lot of points in big stretches. So, you know, Golden State, they have guys that can play defense well. But I'm not banking on it, you know, in this matchup here. I mean, it could be bad once again for the Warriors, like it was against Utah the other night. But
started off good, and then
I think Oladipo is interesting. You know, certainly keep an eye out on that. Nobody wants Oladipo to do well more than I do because I've been hyping up the guy all season, and he's been so disappointing over these last few games. So, you know, definitely need to see a good spot from him soon.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one. So Bradley Beal, I think they played the Spurs last week. If not, it was pretty damn close to that. But Bradley Beal absolutely popped off of our sim sheet that night because shooting guards, you know, that's been the one area you've been able to attack the Spurs consistently this season. Any interest in Beal? He's 7,400 on DraftKings, which is always interesting. He's at home finally, but look, I know a lot of people don't like Beal, especially after what he did the other day. But I could be intrigued.
I don't have any interest.
I know it's very tough with Middleton and Gordon on the slate, but
it is. I mean, you know, Oladipo and DeRozan and Drew and Will Barton. I mean, it's going to be really tough. We haven't even talked about some of the other plays that I like here. So, I mean, look, Beal is a lot of people make a sour face because without Wall, we expect 50 every night and we end up getting 38 and we're like, oh crap. Right. But the good thing about Beal is you're not going to get like 12, right? You're not going to get that from him. So he's as consistent at being over 30 as it gets. I mean, there might be a couple here and there, but I don't like. So the Spurs had a stretch where they were bringing Danny Green off the bench, and they were going with two. Who's a backup point guard? Let's just be honest. Yeah. And they had him at the starting shooting guard. Okay, so when you look at the ADVP numbers, and you show that it's somewhat let up. Keep in mind that that's now Danny Green and no longer Patty Mills defensively.
All right.
Even though Patty Mills still does start at the two, and they put Danny Green at the three and Kyle Anderson at the four with LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that's what they've been doing lately.
They're a depth charts nightmare.
There's no rhyme or reason, really. It's just it's unreal with that guy. But
when I do their depth chart every day, I'm like, shit. Like yeah. I got the Spurs on the slate. It's really complicated what they do, you know. I mean, and the thing with Pop is he'll ride the hot hand, you know. So I believe like Patty Mills last game, one of the more popular value options on that two game slate. I mean, he didn't do jack.
So, he never does, man. Yeah. Look at the last 10 games. He hasn't gotten over really a decent game once, and he's getting over 30 minutes. So I don't really know what Pop sees in the guy, but he likes him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Patty Mills has been a Spur since being a Spur was being a Spur, you know?
Yeah, they've got some guys there that, like some of the younger players, that I'd like to see them play some more. But anyways, so back to Bradley Beal. He's probably going to get a ton of Danny Green. The casual fan might look and say, so what? Who's Danny Green? Danny Green's a really good defender. So, again, I don't see the upside in tournaments because of that, because of the pace of the game, because of the implied totals. I'm not really fond of it at that price. I can get Lou Williams for 200 less. I'm going to get Lou Williams for 200 less.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right, anybody else that we overlooked here?
Yeah, so...
Will Barton.
I'm okay with passing on Will Barton just because. Let me see, where's his price? Oh, he's down now, 7,100. I don't mind Will Barton at that price. You're probably going to see some OG Anunoby on him.
Woof.
But I think, yeah, that's my concern there, because I don't see OG guarding Wilson Chandler. He might, and he might have some DeRozan, but I think DeRozan will end up being on Chandler, and OG will end up being on Barton. But I don't hate the Barton play. A play I like a lot, and I'm waiting for his breakout game. I mean, he's had plenty of them, but not lately. Is Bogdanović versus Dallas? If you're gonna do it, man, do it versus Dallas. I mean, he's got tremendous upside. He's 4,800. He's a pretty decent large field play versus Dallas. You could probably even throw him in cash at 30 minutes.
Now you gotta. That's the Sacramento Bogdanović, because both of these idiots correct. Are on the slate today.
Yeah, the shooting guard one, right? and then. So two more plays and then we'll move on. So sure. Narrative play, Dwayne Wade and his best friend LeBron James.
Ah, that's right. Good call.
I mean, I'm not going to play him because he doesn't see enough minutes, although now he might play a few more with another guy out for them. But, I'm not so over the moon about it.
I was just going to say, not a bad GBP play for Wade, just because, you know, if he catches fire, it's all good. If not, right. then, you know, exactly. you're screwed. So.
Exactly. And he's going to want to show out. I know that. But,
we mentioned earlier, they do pretty well against the, I'm sorry, yeah, the Heat do pretty well against the Cavs, and, you know, the Vegas line looks pretty favorable for them today. So,
yeah.
A little more hope maybe than usual.
Yeah.
By the way, 4,800 on FanDuel as opposed to 53 on DK. All right, I won't interrupt anymore. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So we've got a guy here at 4,800 that we have projected to play 37 minutes.
Strong.
Nick Swaggy P. Young.
Interesting.
The issue with Nick Young is he's probably going to have Oladipo in his face.
Sure.
But that doesn't bother Swaggy P. He will shoot over your mama. He wow. doesn't care. So mama? if the guy gets hot, I mean, you know, he's put up 30 real points. Particularly now that Draymond's not even in the game. I mean, he's going to be relied on heavy to score. $4,800. I like the tournament play.
I dig it. All right, I got nothing left from the shooting guard position, so
moving on.
I believe that means we're done. All right, so we'll begin at the top of the food chain here today, even though I like a lot of lower chain options here on the small forward list. But Giannis, LeBron, AB situation, who you got?
God, this is really tough.
It's America's favorite game.
I think I'm going to have to go Giannis because the Clippers and their allergies to defense is going to bode pretty well for Giannis. So he's the small forward, but we all know by now he starts at the power forward. He's probably going to match up with Tobias Harris, which takes me off of Tobias Harris. But, I mean, they're going to rely a lot on Giannis to and they have to win. So, yeah. Both teams do. So I'm going Giannis.
As am I. Cheaper than LeBron. And, you know, let's face it, much better matchup. You know, we talked about all the different guys that Miami has that can throw LeBron's way. Again, we're not going to stop LeBron, but we're sure as hell going to slow him down.
Right.
So, yeah, very easy decision in my opinion. Now, really? That might sound kind of crazy, but again, I just think with the matchup, I don't like the situation for the Cavs tonight, according to Vegas. I think they're telling us that Miami's going to win this game or at least play them pretty well. I just think that Miami can offer way more resistance on LeBron than the Clippers can even think about doing to Giannis.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Spoelstra, you know, kind of coached LeBron at one point, knows his weaknesses.
He certainly does. And like we said...
If there are any.
There are. Everybody has them. Like we said in an earlier segment, Miami can play defense. They've got, you mentioned Jay Rich, you mentioned James Johnson, you mentioned Justice Winslow. They've got guys they can throw at him. Again, you're not going to stop him, but you are going to somewhat slow him down. Name me one guy outside of maybe Sendarius Thornwell on the Clippers that they're going to throw at Giannis Antetokounmpo and you're actually worried. Not one. Yeah. Not one. So, you know. Now, the one thing I will say, the totals are a little bit higher for the Cavs game.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't really scare me.
Nope, not at all. I actually have a lot more interest in another Cleveland Cavalier because of all we just said about LeBron James, but we will get there later.
All right.
I think there's some fantastic options here in the mid-range. You started off. Who do you like the most, sir?
Outside of the top two?
Yes.
Man. I'm jumping on the train.
Oh.
I'm jumping on a train.
Choo-choo.
I hope
you're ready.
Come
on a train.
The train is coming into town. I like Mo Harkless.
Oh, that train.
The guy has been on a freaking tear lately. And every time I don't play him, I'm like, of course I didn't play him. Of course. He's got 40. Of course I didn't play him. Of course. I'm not going to do that again. Versus New Orleans in a really, really, really good pace-up game versus he might see some Darius Miller, each one more, guys that can't really defend. I like Mo Harkless at 4,700.
Strong.
A lot.
Now, Mo, 46, you said? 47?
47 on FanDuel.
47 on FanDuel, 44, very similar on DraftKings right there. So, yeah, that's a good price. Props to that call. I like it a lot on
Mo. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought the train that you were referring to was the Jay Rich train.
Oh, we love that train at the Army, don't we?
Love it. And guess what? So we know that we love Jay Rich without Whiteside.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, I'm going to take a look at this, but I wonder if the numbers go up, too, without Adebayo, because I think part of the appeal with Richardson all this time with Whiteside out was that he did help out on the rebounding and the defense. He was just – he had to be more of a presence down low with him out. So I do wonder now if he's, like – jumps up excellent. I'm going to take a look at the numbers. We're going to see. But in any which way you slice this pie there, it should be a pretty damn good night for Jay Rich.
I agree. And this game is going to end up going super, super small with probably Kevin Love at the five and Kelly Olynyk at the five. Yep. I said last night, I think you were probably asleep because it was after I played basketball, but and I'm on the West Coast, not on the East Coast. But Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Love – it's like an Abercrombie ad. I mean, those two guys going up against each other, they've got to do hair and makeup before they go onto the court. But it's going to be an interesting matchup there. And those are probably going to be the two biggest dudes, right, for both. I mean, you have Nance and you've got Zizic and you've got Thompson. And I mean, you've got more from the Cleveland side, but this game's going to go small, so – that really bodes well for Jay Rich, as well as Justice Winslow. You might see both of those guys closing out the game, depending on how if they do Love and Jeff Green and LeBron, along with George Hill and Rodney Hood or something like that. I mean, that's going to be really intriguing for me. You might be able to even go Justice Winslow at a little bit cheaper, a lot cheaper, $1,300 less, and Winslow doesn't need to score to produce. You know, so you can get 10x from Justice Winslow in this kind of game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's see. Yeah, like Winslow there as well. How about from the Rockets? Now we definitely got some guys here that, you know, I don't even know what the hell I was thinking about, but should have mentioned them before LeBron. But Gerald Green today, $3,700 on FanDuel is absolutely ridiculous. Perfect. This is your main piece of chalk, folks. On DraftKings, he's 4,700. I think I would still pay that much for him over there. What do you think?
Yeah, what you guys are gonna see today, when you go up against optimized lineups, you're going to see on for FanDuel, you're going to see probably 80% Gordon and Green. Eric Gordon and Gerald Green. These guys are both way underpriced on FanDuel. It, for Eric Gordon, it almost looks like a mistake, right?
Right.
I mean, how is he still 5K going up against the Bulls, starting, playing 35 minutes? Sanford Gerald Green is not going to start, but he'll play a ton of minutes versus a poor defensive team. I mean, those two are about as solid of a cash play game, plays rather, that you're going to find. So Gerald Green has great upside too.
You know what I think happened? I think the main people who are in charge of the pricing department on FanDuel, or at FanDuel, they're on vacation, and then they put in like the second and the third. There might even be a couple fourth team pricing guys sprinkled in there.
I think you and I should apply for a 10-day.
Hey, you know what? I went on an interview to FanDuel. They didn't accept me, so now I'm just trying to win all their money.
Well, let's see who lost on that bet.
Exactly. They, I think I mentioned this. They asked me a question during the interview one time where it was like, if you were stranded on an island, what three things would you have with you? And I was like, I don't know, probably my golf clubs. I work on my sand game, maybe get some music going, and I don't know, probably something to eat, something to drink. And they're like, oh, so you wouldn't try to get off the island. I was like, damn it. That was one of those interview questions where you were supposed to be intelligent. And I was just like, yeah, I'll have a good time, whatever.
Yeah, I'm a beast guy.
Needless to say, I didn't get the job, but hey.
That's funny.
All right, what else? Anything else that we kind of overlooked here?
Yeah, I mean, so for tournaments, again, you've got to look at Bogdanovich, the Indiana one. And I say got to because he's put up 40-plus, and he's done it lately, against a team without Kevin Durant. At the small forward now, so I don't even know who the heck's going to guard him. So I think Boyan will have pretty much anything he wants. And then minimum price, you've got P.J. Tucker, who we have here at 30 minutes, again, against the Chicago Bulls team that's shorthanded. So you can't overlook that. I mean, that's something that you also want to look at. And then if we get word out of Dallas – on who's sitting before the game, you can probably look at Doug McDermott, a little bit of exposure on large field, because Sacramento doesn't play defense and McDermott can fill it up. So
yeah. Also too, if Nikola Mirotic is out, kind of like Etuan Moore a little bit more. And it's more offense from the guy. I think his minutes are probably going to be there no matter what.
Right.
But maybe a couple more shots there for him in that regard.
Yeah.
So don't mind that. And then, yeah, other than that, I'm good.
Same here.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. Let us go to the power forward position where we've got Anthony Davis at the top there. 12-5 on FanDuel. 11-3 on DraftKings. The question, and you're going to have enough money to do it tonight, so I wouldn't even worry about it, but to AD or not to AD?
I don't see how you don't, man. I mean, he's now, after that crazy stretch of, you know, back to back to back.
Yeah. The old traditional 4-5.
Yeah, that was rough. He's had a handful of days now to rest. Portland. Here's the thing with Portland is that they've been defending the big men really well. And a lot of that is Nurkic is kind of back to himself. I think, you know, we saw he was really playing poorly there for a while. And I think a lot of it had to do with that foot injury or whatever it was. I think he's back, you know, in terms of playing well. So I don't. I mean, I'm looking at all the studs, and is there anyone that can that legitimately has hit 90 this season outside of AD?
Damn, it's Harden, but he's not playing.
Right, that's in the game. That's what I'm saying. That's actually playing. So
yeah.
I don't think so. I think he's the only one. And so, you know, for me, that's with or without Mirotić. I don't think it really makes a difference. I think AD is going to go in today. And, you know, this is another one of those games where both teams need to win. There's no tanking here, so I don't mind it.
Yeah, I like it too. I'm big on Kevin Love, and you already brought up the point that I wanted to. Great minds think alike. Mm-hmm. But this this Cleveland-Miami game is probably going to be very small. You know, so a lot of Kevin Love there at the five going up against Kelly Olynyk. You know, you mentioned it already. No love lost there between the two. Still at a very good price right now. 7,800 on DK, 8,100 on FanDuel. I think part of the appeal with Love, too, is the safety that we get with him.
Sure.
Which is kind of funny for a guy who's been out for so long. But I just think that with the current way that this Cavs team is constructed, he's asked to do a lot more. And, you know, let's not forget, too, you know, if LeBron is going to be getting swarmed tonight and not do so well against this Miami Heat team, I think that leaves a lot more scoring opportunities open for Kevin Love. And if that is the case, I don't see how he doesn't hit 50 tonight. 50.
I don't disagree. I think Love is in that type of spot where he can absolutely do that. Absolutely. And since he came back from his injury, he's been playing really well.
Yeah. Like, and I mention this a lot too, where some guys, they take that time off and they forget how to play basketball. Some guys take that time off and they use it to see the game from another perspective. You know, like I hate to compare myself in this situation, but it's like I stopped playing hockey for like 3 years and I came back and like I saw the ice like in a much different way because I guess I had been watching it so much more on TV or like playing video games or something like that. But I started seeing the ice in a much different way. And, you know, I was able to become a much better passer and just see everything on the ice a lot differently. So I can certainly see how somebody would take that time out to, you know, to improve themselves.
Yeah. Well, I'm right there with you. So for the folks out there, and I don't hate this, that are not going to play AD, I think a sneaky move would be to go over to LaMarcus Aldridge.
All right.
The man has been a monster lately. A monster. Putting up over 50 pretty much every single game versus a Washington team that struggles to guard the big men. They have all season long.
That's being kind about it.
Yeah. I mean, they've improved a little bit because they got a lot more of Mahimni now coming in. Mahimni is not nearly as bad a defender as Gortat is. That's all he does is pretty much block shots.
I'm looking at the numbers here for LMA. At least 48 in, what is that, 5 straight games?
Yeah.
The game before that, 39. The game before that, 35. So, yeah, things are going well for LMA.
Yeah, and the 39-35 was when he just came back from that injury. He's been a monster. So he's the focal point of the offense. So if you want to get sneaky and you want to fade AD, I mean, Aldridge is not going to score 90 like AD can. But if you get that 55 from LMA and let's say AD puts up 65, you're in pretty good shape.
Hell yeah, man. I'm glad you brought it. Would it, like, instead of going with AD, that LMA-Love combo?
I was going to say, I'd love at the second spot. You know, you've got a 50 and a 50. You got 100 potential right there versus, sure, you know, AD, and you'll probably have to go down to, like, I don't know, Ibaka or maybe, you know, Montrez or something like that. I mean, yeah, I'm with it.
I dig it. All right, so Houston, you know, we mentioned they're going to have a lot of, you know, injuries and whatnot. So I thought this was interesting. So Tariq Black, I mean, he hasn't played in a while. Like, he played 5 minutes the last game. He played 8 against the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. But they got to play him tonight, right? Like, there's no other choice. No Clint Capella. Nene, you know, he'll probably combust into dust if he plays more than 20 minutes. They have to, right?
I mean, you'd think, right? I mean, on the flip side of that, they can also go really small, and they can go with Paul and Gordon and Green and Ariza and Tucker. I mean, they've done it before, so it's very, very possible. But is he going to play at all? Yeah. he should probably get 20 minutes. Chicago is, we'll have to see who the inactives are. It's like musical chairs with those guys right now, but we'll have to see who plays, who doesn't play. It looks like Markkanen's probable.
Yep.
So he might, he's probably going to play, but, you know, D'Antoni can say, you know what, Ryan Anderson, you play 35 minutes today, right? He might get hot and deserve that 35 minutes. So, yeah, he's going to play, but it's a risky play because in D'Antoni's offense, if you're not able to score, you don't play – or shoot, rather. You don't play much. And that's the drawback with Tarek.
All right. Kind of interesting play here, and I don't think anybody's going to be thinking about him again, which is a huge travesty. But Pascal Siakam – Siakam, however they pronounce his name, guy's been putting up numbers lately. And look, let's be honest, this is a game where they need him against Denver. They got a wealth of bigs that they can throw out there. I just think whatever the situation is for Siakam, he's just been going out there and putting up numbers. Now, DraftKings is where you play him, 3,900. Yeah, that is all it takes for him. But FanDuel, 4,900. So. Yes, there is that price differential. You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably a pass for me on FanDuel, but I could see it on DraftKings.
Yeah, I think, you know, the price on DraftKings, at least there's some room for upside. You know, I mean, FanDuel, he's probably not going to put up 30 points, but, you know, 25, 27 on DraftKings for 3,900. Thank you. Come again.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I like it. All right, any other dumpster dwellers?
Yeah, so not so much dumpster dwellers, but between James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk. The thing with Olynyk is he's at 7K, so I don't know if I can pay that for Olynyk. I mean, in a good spot, but I probably would go, you know, way less and go to James Johnson there, who for some reason really gets up for the Cleveland games too. And with Olynyk and Love going at it, who knows if they'll stay in the game. But, you know, I mean, facetiously, right? But still, I mean, I think James Johnson's in a great spot. 5,800 on FanDuel. Again, no Bam on a bio, no Whiteside. Now, there's a couple other plays here that I'm intrigued by.
All right.
We talked about him a little bit earlier. The Chief, Alfredo Camino, has been... I mean, he's really been playing well. He's been hitting his three-point shot. He does that Carmelo Anthony when he makes his threes now, where he bangs his head with the three fingers. Been seeing a lot of that lately. So in the type of game that really suits him in terms of pace. So I don't mind Amino at all. You've got Thad Young going up against the Draymond Greenless Golden State Warriors at 6K. I don't mind that play at all. Now without Draymond, you've got Kevon Looney, who's going to see tons of minutes, who I don't mind that play at all either. I'm off the Jordan Bell train, so you guys can play him if you want. I pass, even without Draymond. The guy, he just hasn't been doing it. So the thing about Jordan Bell for me is that he'll do well when all of the guys are in and maybe like only Draymond sits. He'll do okay. But besides that, I mean, yeah, not for me.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about him in the point guards that much, but I don't even mind Quinn Cook now. Now that Dre is probably going to be out too. I mean, hey, the guy's been doing work, man. And you know what it is with Cook? It's more or less when like all of the Fantastic Four are out, he can do his thing. But
shit,
I didn't even see this. He's got a knee ailment.
Yeah, I think he's probably.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he's a little sore. He's not used to playing so many NBA games. It's a grind. It's not easy on the body.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. But yeah, I he'll be in the article later. I'll have some nice nuggets on him. You know what's great about today? I have Walsh's wingman might be the shortest ever because I know where I'm going already. I'm not like, you know how usually I'll give a couple options.
Yeah.
No, not today. Like today is like bing bang boom.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And that's how it's going. I am. All right, you got any more power forwards or
Yeah, there's one guy that I said that I was gonna bring up, and yes, I kind of want to bring him up. This is not somebody you probably have any clue who I'm going to talk about, because you're like, where the hell did he come from? Last time Whiteside and – so if you remember earlier in the season, Miami was decimated. They were like really short on players.
Okay.
A guy popped up by the name of Jordan Mickey.
Oh, I'm aware of him. Nice Irishman.
Probably not. I'm going to guess by his complexion that he's not an Irishman. But, you know, listen, I don't know if he's going to play 20, 25 minutes, but he's minimum price versus, again, Cleveland, who doesn't play very good defense. So just something to consider.
Yep, no doubt. One other guy I kind of stumbled across here, but Jabari Parker, maybe for GPPs, going up against the Clippers. Now, the position's so loaded, I don't think you need to do it, and there's great value, but I'm not going to be surprised if he doesn't play well tonight.
And mind you, he's with the second unit, so he'll probably face Montrezl Harrell.
Sure.
Mabaterial.
Montrezl Foshizi. All right. All right, let us get to this center position. Now, I saved this all for you, Bear, because I know you're a huge Nikola Jokic fan. I could have brought it up in the beginning, but I'm going to do it here at the end. Now, I don't have the exact numbers, but I remember I did a back-to-back case study with Mr. Jokic. And there's a certain minute mark that he needs to hit in order to not be effective the next day. That minute mark was 32, right? So,
I don't know.
He played, 29, 30 minutes last night? But Jokic, like, you would think a guy like a big lunky, you know, drink of water like that, he would struggle on back-to-backs. Not the case. You know, he didn't have such a huge workload last night. He did go up against Embiid, did catch a couple fouls. So, you know, yeah, sure, it maybe threw him off a little bit. But you can do some work against this Raptors team. And again, Jokic, he's weird on the back-to-backs, man. Like, he's either got one really good game or one, you know, I guess below par game for what he would be. But he didn't play that well last night. And in this case study that I've done, it's either been one game or the other where he's done really well. So, again, I think that, you know, you mentioned it earlier how important this game is to both teams.
We saw
the Nuggets get a little bit of rest down the stretch last night, and Jokic was definitely one of those guys that got a little bit of a breather. So I think he's in a nice spot here tonight.
Here's the thing. I think he is easily going to hit 50.
Nice.
That's
good news.
When these two teams played earlier, he put up 51.2 in 30 minutes.
Attaboy.
With only 8 points. Real points. 16 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal.
I like it.
So, and he only had 2 fouls. So he, you know, doesn't have an issue guarding Valanciunas. But the issue with that is he's just under 10K. I'm looking at a loaded slate like this one. I need 6X, 5X, or at least the potential for. Now, I know he can get to 60, 65. He has, absolutely. Right. But if I'm looking for a safe, solid center, I'm definitely going Jokic. If I'm looking for somebody I can get 6X from, I'm going to go like Nurkic, DeAndre Jordan, Willie Cauley-Stein, Cristiano Felicio.
See, this is why you need to come over to the dark side like myself, because you can play your boy for 8,800 over there.
Ooh, yeah, I'm all
in. Yeah.
That's different. But I mean, look, I'm going to play probably 10, 15 different tournaments today, tonight, whatever, and I'm going to have probably 2 or 3 with Jokic.
I like it. What's interesting on DraftKings is you can kind of get away from these traditional centers and maybe use like an Olynyk or James Johnson in the center position, Kevin Love even in that spot there. So you can certainly save some dollars in that regard at the center position. But from FanDuel, you still got some good options here. DeAndre Jordan, 8,000 on both sites going up against the Bucks. If I'm not mistaken, he did pretty well against them not too long ago.
Yeah, he does do well against them.
Oh, yeah, only 25 points and 22 rebounds, that's all. You know what's hysterical in that game? He hits 50, but he gets 7 turnovers. So let's hope we don't get that tonight.
Yeah. And something to note about that game, that was the game that Giannis rolled his ankle in the second quarter. So he was out of that game, which does make things a little bit easier for DJ. But I think I'm probably going to have a lot of DJ here. Really, 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 really good spot. It's between him and Willie Cauley-Stein. Those are my two plug and plays. Obviously, Jokic is my tournament play. But, man, it's going to be hard for me not to play a lot of DeAndre.
I hear you. What else is here at the center position?
So, the resurgence of Yusuf Nurkic.
Ah.
The guy has been finally playing like we expected him to, like he has been to start the season. Again, I do think a lot of that was his foot injury that kind of limited him. Also, some of that was the stellar play of Ed Davis, who had been taking some minutes away from him. But Nurkic has been playing so well that, you know, Coach Stotts is like, sorry, Ed, this guy's – we gotta play him. I don't mind Nurkic at all versus New Orleans. I mean, he'll probably see a little bit of Anthony Davis. He might see a little bit of, you know, whoever else they start, Okafor, whoever else they start. But most of it's going to be him versus AD. And I think Nurkic can do some damage.
Interesting. Yes, I like it. We know this guy's been a real idiot before with foul trouble. So any worries with him against AD?
I mean, you always have to worry about it, you know, but, mm-hmm. Not enough for me not to play him. No.
All right. Anybody else here?
Yeah. So without Draymond now, and, looks like, Sabonis is going to be a game time decision, but I do like, Miles Turner for tournaments, 6,600. Again, who's going to guard him down low? Zaza, JaVale McGee, Kevon Looney, maybe David West. Capable, but I like his situation. And then probably the lowest I'll be going in terms of cost is going to be Cristiano Felicio, because there's no Capella, so it's not like he has to worry about a legitimate center. It's going to be Nene and Tariq Black, or, you know, unless they go super small and they bring in someone like Bobby Portis instead, but which is very possible. I don't mind that play at all. We've got him here at 27 minutes. So.
All right. With Turner, he kind of reminds me of our boy a little bit, Brook Lopez, in the fact that he's very consistent around that 30-point mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not going to kill you. We're just waiting, you know, now for Turner. How great would that be if we got back-to-back days of production from that same combination of players? Brook had a fantastic game last night with 5 blocks, maybe more if he kept going. But that's what I saw it at 5 blocks. So, yeah, I certainly like that there. You're talking about paying down at the center position. Now, it's incredibly frustrating what the Wizards are doing with Mahimi's minutes, but he did just play 23 minutes against the same Spurs team last week, and he ended up putting 26 up on FanDuel. So you wonder if they'll go back to him. It's so frustrating because the guy's been producing with how many ever minutes he's been getting.
Yeah.
But if he only gets like 7-13 minutes, I mean, what the hell, man? That's not what we signed up for. We signed up for like 25, at least 20 minutes we signed up for with Mahimi. So I don't think that's a bad GPP play, given the fact that we saw him just play, you know, a good chunk of minutes against the same opponent. And you would think against the Spurs, that's a guy that they would want to have in there more.
You think so? I mean,
yeah, you'd think.
You know, San Antonio does like to go big when they can. So remember, the backup center there is Pau Gasol.
Yep.
And so Pau Gasol, if he gets his 25 minutes, that means Mahimi should get his 25 minutes. So I think this is the kind of slower paced game that Mahimi will get some decent run. I'm guessing at least 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot, but he's minimum price, so.
Yes, right there on FanDuel, and then DraftKings, he's at 35. But again, I mean, that's basically free, so
yeah.
We're just trying not to be Captain Literal men here. Let's the Mavericks situation. Dwight Powell, Nerlens Noel, and Salah Mejri are all listed as questionable. It's not necessarily a hurt thing for Mejri or Noel. Remember, they're going to be split in time. But if Powell can't play tonight, then it's going to be those two that are split in time.
If they play. I mean, we'll, you know, we don't know what's going on there. By the way, it looks like Thon Maker is closer to doubtful.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know who's going to play there. I just don't. I don't know what they're doing there. We'll have to see. Hopefully, let me see what time is that. Is it a later game? Yeah, it's a later game.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a little bit too risky to play any of those guys.
Nerlens Noel finally rose from the near 3,000 levels on DraftKings. He's at 4,800 now. But again, if we know he's playing and we know he's getting minutes, this guy has been uber productive of late.
If we know he's playing, play him. It's simple. I mean, the guy can, he puts up in bunches. So, where I'm looking for. Yeah, I don't even see Noel here as questionable. I just see him as out. Is he out?
Now they have questionable, but it's not. Again, remember, it's not for the injury. For him and Mejri, it's just the rest situation. But yeah, for Powell, I didn't see what his deal was, but I know he's questionable. Let's take a look here.
His knee or something.
Oh yeah, Powell's not even on the FanDuel questionable, but he was on Basketball Monster, so I believe them.
Yeah, so I mean, well, you know, if we hear something closer to lock or you know before rather, okay, because if Mejri is out of the game and Powell's out of the game, I don't care. Load up on Noel. I mean, that's what you want. But
yeah,
but if you don't hear anything at all and lock comes around, I would just avoid it.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
All good.
There was somebody. Oh, your guy.
My guy.
Turtle with the P.
Ah. I've been told that I look like Turtle before from Entourage.
I can see that.
There was a time back in his like husky days. I mean, I've also thinned out a little myself, but yeah, I don't mind him. I think you know, again, ultimate GPP guy. It's going to be boom or bust. I think boom mainly because, you know, we like you saw how the Sixers went with their height last night, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. You need to combat Denver with height because they like their three position. I mean, Barton's a really tall too. So, I mean, they're going to be going big tonight, you would think. So, yeah, I would be pro P Turtle.
Yeah, I don't mind either for GPP. Yeah, I mean, I have to decide if I want to go with him versus like, Cristiano Felicio at very similar price points. I think Felicio is 200 more, and he's probably going to play about 20 more minutes. Maybe not that much more, but you know, a lot more. But I don't. Yeah, those are both tournament plays.
All right, cool. All right, that'll do it for us on today's pod. So if you want to join us full time, you can do so. DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. Don't forget, folks, MLB coming up on Thursday. So we're gearing up for that here at the Army. Going to be very exciting. I believe me and Keith are doing the opening day pod for that one, so that should be fun. And then we still got 2 days here left the NBA before that, so don't take it lightly. We got you all covered. It's me and Bear on notes and the pod today, so we will Legion of Doom the shit out of this Tuesday slate. How about that?
Perfect.
Indeed. All right. For me, Bear, and the rest of the Army, we go. Peace out. All right. We are good. All right. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Later, bro.
Later.